Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing,
however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back in, everyone, to the Go247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, the senior writer here at the site, joined once again by Dylan Sanders, our contributing writer. LSU's home season is coming to an end this weekend. It kind of feels weird to say that. It just feels like the season just started, but first year under Brian Kelly, and his home season, home stretch here in the first year is coming to an end on Saturday as the Tigers get ready to take on visiting UAB. We'll get to some analysis of this game. We'll preview a little bit of the matchup, a little bit about senior day. We'll wrap up with some basketball talk, but first off, I guess, Dylan, how are you doing this week?
Doing good. The semester ends pretty soon. We have Thanksgiving break and then one more week of classes after that. So we're coming up on it. It's a short semester, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I always remember the fall break at LSU. It was weird how it was kind of split up at the end. You had the Thanksgiving, and then it was pretty much finals, and then it was over. I mean, that's kind of how it worked out every year.
Other than that, I'm just ready for World Cup football, the other kind of football.
The other football will be in action, I think, when? Starting tomorrow or
starting Sunday? Starting Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, Sunday. Okay. All right. Well, we'll get into some LSU talk here. Obviously the Tigers now sitting pretty. They've clinched the SEC West. They've done a lot of things that I don't think many people expected them to here in year one under Kelly. But they still got a job to do here over the next 2 weeks, starting with UAB, their final non-conference game, their final home game of the of their 2022 season. Just a couple initial thoughts on this one. I think probably the biggest key for me coming in is just, can the passing offense get back on track for these final stretch conference games that you're going to be playing in the next couple weeks? Really would like to see Jaden Daniels and the offense have an efficient day, come out and start fast, with the passing game. I think it's going to be extremely important to really move the ball around to these various receivers, Kayshon Booty, Dre Jenkins. Still not sure as we're talking right now what Brian Thomas's status is. He's in concussion protocol dating back to last week. So we'll get a little bit more confirmation from Coach Kelly on Thursday in his press conference. But it did sound like he was going to be able to at least practice this week in some capacity, which sounded good on his end. But you want to see the ball really, I think just a lot better in terms of the passing offense and getting those guys involved. You want to see the receivers create some consistent separation, I think, from these UAB defensive backs. Just, a really important game just in terms of getting right. You still got Texas A&M and then obviously Georgia in the SEC championship game. But, A&M's a team that's not really playing for a whole lot right now. And so going into that game, knowing that they're probably just going to be playing pretty loose, playing for, I guess, some pride there in the last game of their season. You want to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row and that you're pretty healthy heading into that game. So I would say that's probably the number one thing I want to see from this LSU team this weekend against a UAB team that's quite honestly, a little bit better than their record. They're 5-5, but this could easily be a 7 or 8 win team. They've kept a lot of games close. They were right at there until the end with Liberty, who's really gone on a team that's really gone on a really magical run for Liberty. You know, this whole season they've been extremely consistent. So, Dylan, just looking at this, I guess from your view, what are one or two things that you think are going to be the biggest keys in this game for LSU?
Before the season, whenever I saw that we were playing UAB this week, and I was kind of worried because Bill Clark, as a coach I have a lot of respect for, is a really good coach, had to medically step away from the team. And I just don't know. I don't think that they have the talent. I just don't know if they've really lived up to what they could be or as dangerous as they could be. I don't think this is a game that's nearly as scary without Bill Clark at the helm, which is a good thing for LSU. Hopefully, he's all healthy, gets right, and could be in line for a bigger coaching job once he is ready to come back. But you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's just kind of like a get right game for this offense, and a momentum carrier for the defense. The UAB passing defense hasn't been too stellar. The passing offense is pretty lackluster, but their running game is killer, which is kind of, I feel like, is a situation that LSU has run into a lot, except UAB doesn't really have the running threat at quarterback that other schools have had. Dwayne McBride is one of the best running backs in the country, but we've seen LSU be able to neutralize really, really good run. We saw it last week against Rocket Sanders. So it's a game where I think it's a team LSU has played other better teams like it and kind of know what to do. It's just a confidence builder and a confidence carrier over into the last game of the season. And now we can say for sure conference championship week.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to say that, I guess. But yeah, I mean, just with UAB, I think the biggest thing here is just to not let them hang around very long. Yeah, I think that's been kind of a consistent issue for LSU really all season, is they've gotten off to these slow starts and you just don't really know which team you're going to get at the beginning of these games. And they really have seemed to figure stuff out, for the most part in the second half. They've been a great second half team most of the year. But there are some challenges with this UAB team. You mentioned McBride. He's got 1,400 yards on the run, on the ground this year, 17 touchdowns. The biggest area that LSU is going to have to, really key in on is him in terms of the game plan and what UAB can really throw at you. So I do think that's going to be the biggest key for LSU's defense, but we've seen it this year. Ali Gay, Makai Wingo, Micah Baskerville, all those guys have been pretty good. Jaqueline Roy most recently, all those guys have been really good at stopping the run, slowing down the run. You saw it last week against Arkansas. I will be interested to see just kind of what kind of tweaks, what kind of quirks that maybe the defense throws in there with maybe not as mobile of a quarterback. Cause I mean, that's something you're going to face in the last 2 weeks of the season as well, with what A&M offers and obviously what Stetson Bennett does at Georgia. Those aren't really mobile quarterbacks. So maybe this is an opportunity for LSU to start implementing some in-season changes, some late season changes to what they're doing schematically on defense. I think Harold Perkins has just been so terrific for you as that spire for opposing quarterbacks. Maybe they can find consistent ways to get him back, in the backfield and maybe just kind of get him going a little bit more in a variety of different ways. Yeah, I think there's a lot of room for optimism on his future of what he can do. But we've only seen him rush the passer, and I'm going to be curious to see if maybe they dial up some stuff where he's back in coverage a little bit more, maybe makes a play on a ball as a linebacker, see if he's got the hands for it, that kind of deal. So I'll be very interested to see if there's any slight changes schematically, if what they're doing defensively, because you're going to be facing, I think, a lot of the similar quarterbacks in terms of how they play heading down the stretch here this season. Just what are your thoughts on that, you know, in terms of defense and what, you know, the kind of the game plan should be with handling UAB?
Yeah, find what works. Find the matchups that you like, and honestly, get a lot of the guys that I feel like this is a game where you could start to find what you have in like a Harold Perkins, Savion Jones defensive line group against, you know, against the run. Put them to the test against a good run team. Try and figure out what you have to work with. It is a senior night. Give some seniors some playing time that haven't had a ton, but also balance it with looking to the future. This is a late game, a late season test tune-up game opportunity to get some guys some game reps. And of course you have two games left, two really big games, potentially more after that, depending on how these games work out. You need to find out what you have in case something happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think another guy to throw in there is someone who's seen his role increase, DeMario Tolan. Maybe you get him a few extra snaps in there.
I feel like we'll see him a lot this week.
Yeah. Tolan.
Whit Weeks. Greg,
Will Weeks.
Yeah. His brother. I was looking up his stats today. It's going to be annoying.
Yeah. That's going to be strange because there's Whit Weeks that's coming in for the 2023 recruiting class. And you got older brother Will, who's a linebacker right now, who's a redshirt freshman transferred in. So that's going to be a problem for next year. But I think just building on that a little bit, I think the biggest thing outside of just seeing the offense and just seeing the passing game continue to improve, what I'd like to see more than anything is to get a variety of players out on the field and, most importantly, just get out of there healthy. LSU's been extremely – I wouldn't say lucky, but they've been very, very comfortable with in terms of their injuries in the last couple of weeks. They've really gotten healthy. You've seen it in the secondary. You've seen it in the offensive line play. I think that speaks to the job that Jake Flint's done as strength and conditioning coach, and really how all these players have taken such great care of their bodies that they're in a position where there are really no big significant injuries outside of what Mason Smith did on the very first play of, or the very first drive of the very first game. I mean, there's really been no other long-term injuries. You got Seven Banks, the cornerback, who, you know, I think they are hoping to get back at some point this season, but no guarantee there. But this is as healthy as a team that LSU's had since 19. And I think that's a really, really important part of this. It's kind of gone a little bit under the radar. So making sure you get out of this one healthy, making sure maybe you can get a couple curtain calls for the offensive and defensive players who have really led you here in the last month, 5-6 weeks of the season. Maybe you get up, you know, big in the second half and you can get Jaden Daniels off the field and get Nussmeier in there or Walker Howard or somebody and kind of go with sailing into the sunset of the road of the home trip here in Death Valley, give those fans something to cheer about. So I think this is just going to be one of those games where honestly, the most important thing is just to get out of there healthy and make some slight adjustments on defense. And then maybe you get the passing offense a little bit more consistent. But I'd like to also see, just kind of get your thoughts, pick your brain a little bit about this senior class. I mean, I've talked a little bit about it, written a little bit about it this week, but the senior class, I think this one's going to be pretty unique for Brian Kelly, just because there's such a variety of seniors. You know, you've got transfers in here. You've got guys who have been with the program 4 and 5 years, like Micah Baskerville, and Ollie Gay's a guy who's been around for 3 years. It feels like he's been around longer than that, just because of the vocal leadership he's provided this team the last couple of years. Just who are a couple of Dre Jenkins is a guy I can't forget as well. Just who are a couple of guys that in terms of seniors that you think have really made a significant impact on this team, whether it's on the field, off the field, and just guys that you're you're going to be looking forward to seeing out there on Saturday one last time in Tiger Stadium.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I mean, I think the easy answer is Jerae Jenkins. He is, whenever you think of, he's filled the roles of a lot like Jontre Kirkland, all those kind of guys that have been around and been on this team for a while. Just a true leader in that wide receiver room. You always need guys like that. Russell Shepherd comes to mind. Russell Cage, like some people like that. Like, just whenever you think of like LSU Tigers, that's kind of the kind of guy that I think of personally. So being able to see him one more time is great. Ali Gay, you mentioned Baskerville. Cam Wire is another senior who could come back. There are a couple. It's kind of weird now because you have seniors and they have like three more years of eligibility.
You got the COVID year and the injury year and the, I mean, the red shirt year. I mean, there's been a lot of six-year guys on the roster the last several years, and I don't think that's going away really for the next couple of years. So there's absolutely some guys that I think could return, but we'll get to that in a minute. Just go ahead.
Jay Ward is a guy who I think is a senior and will go to the draft after this year, who has been kind of the heart and soul of the secondary at times. Jerick Bernard Converse and Greg Brooks are two transfers who could probably, and Joe Fouché, like they could all leave realistically after this year, head to the NFL, but have all been pretty good. All three, I think, have been major contributions and the kind of guy, maybe an outlook on the kind of transfer that Brian Kelly will keep looking for.
Yeah, I do think that the secondary will probably be the one that gets hardest after the season, gets hit hardest after the season in terms of guys leaving. Bernard Converse is a guy who can't come back, so he'll be gone. Jay Ward and Ali Gay, I know Ali Gay is a defensive end, but those two guys were invited to the Senior Bowl. We got that update today, just rolled out about an hour ago. So those two guys, I mean, that's usually a good indication of what those guys were thinking. I think this is going to be an off season that really dictated by maybe two or three transfers. You're not looking to get, the 15 that you had in here last year, just because you're really want to build this thing from the freshman class up. But just getting back to the seniors for a little bit, I'm going to be looking at guys who are maybe on the fence there. John Emery is a name that pops to mind. He's technically a senior. He's actually not participating in senior day events on Saturday. So you could take that for what it is. I'm not sure what exactly that means. It could mean he's thinking about coming back. It could mean he just doesn't want to deal with that this year. But there are 17 guys that are going to be honored here on Saturday, and that's a pretty good number. I think 13 of them have graduated already. Coach Kelly has talked about a lot this season, the phrase, we want to graduate champions. And You know, they've gotten the graduation part down. They're SEC West champions, but obviously there's still a lot to play for here for all those guys. So just getting one last night with them and in Tiger Stadium. We talked with Ali Gay on Tuesday, and this is the first time Ali's family is going to actually get to see him play in Tiger Stadium, which I thought when he told us was just crazy. I just couldn't believe it because you think about it, 2020 was the COVID year, so really nobody was traveling, and his family lives up in the D.C. area. 2021, he had that injury 3 games into his season there. Didn't make much sense, and family coming down if he wasn't going to be able to play. So this has been the first full year he's been healthy, the first full year where things aren't really that all that crazy in terms of travel and getting down here and getting a chance to see him play. And so you could tell that that meant a lot to him, that he's going to have his family, his parents, his sister. I think he has a brother too. I can't remember, but they're all going to be in town to watch him. And it's going to be similar stories for everybody. You know, Micah Baskerville told us a great story too on Tuesday when, you know, look, he was a guy that was academically ineligible about a year ago in 2021. He was really working himself back into being eligible academically. And it was around that time where he promised his mom that he was going to get that degree and that he was not going to leave until he got that degree. And so to see him now, he's going to be graduating on the 16th and interdisciplinary studies and move on to potentially a career in the NFL. I think there's a lot of momentum building on him as a potential late draft flyer. I think he'd be a great locker room guy for a lot of different teams at the next level. So, you know, we'll see with him, but, you know, just getting to see guys like that who have put in the work, who have really worked hard, overcome some adversity. That's going to be really, really fun for me to watch all these guys get an opportunity to play one last time. And you just got to be able to compartmentalize the emotions you're going to be feeling with the play that you got to go out there and make against UAB on Saturday.
Yeah, who else is a senior that has felt like he's been on the team for 48 years? Evan Francione is a name, senior
receiver. Yeah,
shout out. It feels like he's been on the team for 20 years. I'm just gonna.
That's true. He's been on there for a while. There's a couple of guys that I've felt like that. I mean, Von Rosenberg in past years was a guy that you never thought was ever going to leave the team. And it's just Todd Harris is another one. Todd Harris is a graduate student this year. He's been on the team for, gosh, 5-6 years now. I mean, it seems like he's been here since the beginning of time.
There is also randomly a UAB guy who was a Les Miles recruit. There's a guy, Tyler Taylor. Yeah. So, you know, it's a special night for him. One of his last games will be back where he started. He was a 2017 contributor, which is just insane.
Yeah, and if you go back and you kind of research your past on his past, things didn't end all that great here. He's obviously picked himself up going through the JUCO route and now latching on with UAB, so that's good to see. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's just so many of those stories. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be pretty emotional for a guy like Jay Bramblett, too, the punter who transferred in from Notre Dame, who's been with Coach Kelly since the start of his career as well. So there's going to be a lot of emotions on that end. I think for guys who maybe even aren't seniors that are expected to leave, guys like B.J. Ojulari and Kayshawn Booty, and it kind of the list goes down there. But, I mean, like, these are, you know, important pillars to what LSU's done this season, and it's going to be a good night. You know, it's always a good night for seniors to have that, you know, last kind of hurrah, and even for players who are, you know, potentially leaving as juniors and underclassmen. So should be a good night all around. I did want to kind of close here with some talk on basketball. LSU basketball is now 2 games into its season. We've talked about it a little bit. But the women's team, I believe, is 3-0, or are they 4-0? They're 3-0, right?
4-0.
So they picked up a big win yesterday, or I guess by the time this is coming out.
Yeah, Wednesday, an 11 a.m. Tip for the field trip week, which was, you know, Shout out to all the schools. It was, there was like 10,000 kids or something like that in attendance. It was an experience. That, the PMAC was loud.
Those games are always the loudest, is what someone told me. And so I'll let you take it off with the women's just real quick, and then I'll pipe in with some men's conversation and we'll get out of here. But just what are your overall takeaways from the women four games in?
Well, we can start off on a good note. I didn't know if you wanted to end. You know, this team is something, man. It is it's one of the more fun teams I've ever watched at LSU. Basketball, men or women's. Angel Reese is going to be one of the most dominant post players in 30 years for LSU, is what it feels like. Jasmine Carson can shoot it.
Valve girl could play too. She was
probably since around then. Yeah. Angel Reese is looking pretty dominant. Flavia Johnson's living up to the hype as a freshman. Jasmine Carson can shoot it unlike anybody that the women's team has had in a while. Mulkey made a great point saying that people like to call her a post coach, but she has one of her players holds the record for most three-pointers in the game. And watching Jasmine Carson, if that's how Mulkey likes to play with her three-point shooters, that could very well be challenged by her. She can shoot. She almost at the preseason, the Go Mad event or whatever, she lost by 1 point to Adam Miller in a three-point shooting contest. Very, very close. Very, very close matchup. But she's a really, really good shooter. Overall, the team looks great. They haven't dipped below 100 points since the first exhibition where they scored 88 still. But and they're holding their opponents to something like 25% shooting from the field. Obviously, they haven't played the craziest of opponents yet. But they are playing with high intensity on defense and playing really, really well on offense. And Alexis Morris looks really natural in the point guard role now that, you know, she's taking over for Kayla Pointer. And the team is just filled out. And I think it's 100% a better team than last year's. And we saw what they did. So
yeah,
they could be one of the highest finishes in a long time for LSU women's basketball. And they signed the number one recruiting class. So it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah. Maybe they could pass on some of the offense into the men's team.
I was going to say, this right is why now, I didn't know if you wanted to end with the women's.
I guess we'll end on a little bit of a sour note. I wouldn't say sour. It's just, look, watching the first couple of games, we got another one. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. So there's another one here. LSU will be playing UNO on Thursday night, so we'll have another, you know, kind of sample size of what this group looks like. But it's been difficult. I would say probably the best word to say is just been difficult, just because you've got so many new players on this roster. Starting off with the positive, Adam Miller's looked fantastic. He dropped 18 points in the opener, followed that up with 26 in the second game. He is the offense right now for LSU. He's creating for himself. I would love to see LSU put the ball in his hands even more to create for others. He's actually a really underrated passer. And so until you can get some more consistency with your group and with those guys as a team, having a guy like Miller control and dominate the ball, I think is probably the best road to consistent success offensively. They have not been very good shooting the ball inside the perimeter. So two-point baskets, they're actually shooting under 40% this year, which is really not good in the first couple games here against teams like Arkansas State and Kansas City that you'd like to be able to dominate inside a little bit more. They just haven't been able to do it. Some of that kind of goes hand-in-hand with their big guy, KJ Williams, has gotten in some foul trouble these first couple of games, and it's had to sit out long stretches. So getting him going a little bit and kind of getting his fouling under control, I think will go a long way in terms of the inside presence LSU can have. But I think we've talked about this before, maybe last week when we did our kind of reaction pod to the Arkansas game. But the size is going to be a problem, I think, for LSU this year. They're just not a very big team. They've had some struggles on the defensive glass. They're going to have to really – I think scheme their approach is to having, you know, as many as four guys attacking the glass at one time. You're going to have to really approach this as a team rebounding kind of effort, just because they don't have a ton of size right now on the floor. They're pretty religiously playing Justice Hill, Adam Miller, Emwani Wilkinson, Jalen Reed, KJ Williams. They got Kendall Coleman coming off the bench, and he's only playing about 8 or 9 minutes a game right now. I thought he was going to be a guy that could be a big rebounder slash inside presence for him, but hadn't really worked out that way yet through two games. And that's the other thing I want to say is just it is two games. You know, we've had some guys on the board, and I'm not casting any aspersions here, but like they've been frustrated, and I would agree. I mean, it just hasn't looked pretty. I think that's one of the big things. I was actually talking to one of my friends earlier today, and they was asking me if I should go to the LSU game tonight. And I said, sure. I mean, it's early. They're not going to look like, the teams that LSU had the last couple of years that were just so much fun flying up and down the court with chemistry. And, there's just not a whole lot of foundation established yet. And I think that's really what this non-conference schedule is going to be about for those guys, is kind of establishing the rotation and chemistry and figuring out which guys play well together. And they're still very much in the thick of that. And so I do think it'll come, but it's just going to take some time. So with that, did you have any other last minute thoughts on basketball, on football, on golf, baseball, anything that – oh, we got baseball this weekend, the Purple Gold.
Oh, we do. We do. You reminded yourself.
So get to the box this weekend. I'll be there on Friday and probably on Sunday as well. Checking in some cold weather baseball, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, Glenn, I wanted to remind you to bundle up for Saturday night's game against UAB because it's going to be a late and cold night in the press box.
8 p.m. kickoff for UAB was not what I had expected, but you'll take it, I guess. It'll be another cold one. I think there's only supposed to be like a high of 50 on Saturday, and it's going to be in the mid to low 40s for most of the night. So
press box gets cold.
Yeah. And I'm going to be driving. I've been walking to most of the games this year, but I'll be driving this time. I think that's probably just a little bit too cold of a walk to make, especially if I'm not going to be out of there by 1 or 2 in the morning. But anyway, I digress. We'll reconvene here on Sunday, give you guys a recap of UAB, look ahead a little bit to LSU's final game of the year against Texas A&M, and we'll be back soon. So with that, we'll catch you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.